Chapter 5. The pink sun that set over the trees gleamed off of the golden shapes of men as they streamed out of the trees. The Aztec warriors that surrounded us on their war bison looked like they had stolen the designs for suits of armor from the Spanish conquistadors, made them out of shiny gold, and had painted colorful patterns and triangular designs all over them. Their helmets had gold mesh screens instead of visors, but the incredibly colorful feathers that sprouted from the tops of those helmets made them look like shiny birds bobbing around in the jungle. Their buffalo wore golden armor over their chests and wide butts, as well as helmets with holes for their eyes, muzzles, and horns. The warriors waved around gold-plated clubs with wicked obsidian shards sticking out of them as their bison charged and snorted. Floppy lowered his head and scraped at the ground as a bison charged toward him. The little mammoth tucked his trunk under his chest as he aimed his tusks at the oncoming beast. Fila had grabbed one of the garden weasels from the crates of gardening tools to guard our base as Emma and I napped. The saber-toothed catwoman held her wooden spear in one hand and the metal gardening tool in the other as she crouched on her haunches and her round ass twitched as she prepared to pounce.
"Fila, wait!" I shouted.
I knew that telltale wiggle well by now, but I didn't know if she knew that I was behind her as backup. I also knew that there was a good chance she'd attack the Aztec warriors even if she knew I was there, but I had to try. Fila pounced toward one of the warriors almost before the words had finished coming out of my mouth. Her bare, clawed feet landed on the golden-clad nose of one of the bison, and its big, confused eyes rolled up as it tossed its head upward. The catwoman used the extra momentum from the jump to leap up and avoid the warrior's slashing obsidian blade. She slammed the point of her stone spear through the warrior's mesh face as she twirled the head of the garden weasel into the face of another golden knight. Floppy lowered his head and slashed upward at one of the armored bison with his tusks. The sharp points of his horns slid between the bison's legs and up into its unarmored belly. Blood trickled down Floppy's tusks as the bison squealed in pain, and the armored animal reared up on its hind legs as it tried to get away from the little mammoth's natural weapons. Floppy twisted his head and met the warrior on top's obsidian sword with his other tusk as the feather-helmeted man slid off his bison's back and onto the ground. The little mammoth yanked his tusks away as the bison rolled over onto his screaming warrior. I fired off a few shots at the warriors who were attacking Fila, and a hole appeared in the golden chest plate of one of the warriors. Dark red blood trickled out of the hole as he dropped his obsidian-bladed club, and he screamed and grabbed at the hole in his armor as he fell off of his bison. One of the bullets hit one of the warriors in the side of the helmet. Blood and brains splattered out of the side of his helmet like dull red and gray fireworks, and the man slumped over onto the tip of his bison's head. His hands covered the bison's eyes as they fell over the animal's face. The final bullet shot through the last warrior's feather helmet. He clung to his bison's helmet as the animal bellowed and reared up on its back legs, but he fell off of the beast instead, hit his golden helmet on a protruding rock with a clank, and laid still on the ground. The first bison lowered its head and ran at me, but the second bison bellowed and started to shake its head around like it was trying to shake the warrior off of its back. The poor, freaked-out animal collided with the pissed-off bison that was charging toward me. Two zaps of lightning came in from behind me. One of them reached into the woods and zapped a warrior who had been hiding in the shadows. Blue zaps of electricity played along his golden-clad body as he shook in an electrical seizure, and in just a couple of seconds he fell down between the trees. The huge crunch suggested that his bison had been Westinghouse to death and had fallen into the underbrush. Two other bison screamed and snorted in terror as their hairy legs glimmered with oil-slick goo striped purple and green. The hair on their legs dissolved away to brown skin, and then to red flesh, and then to bone, all in a matter of seconds. When their legs finally withered away to stumps, the bison fell bellowing away. Another wave of warriors came at us in their gleaming armor and their war bison. There were so many that I didn't even bother to count them, and I just aimed my Glock at each one as they charged me. The warriors were close enough to me as they charged out of the underbrush that I didn't miss too many of them, although it was easier to get them in the chest or in the guts than in the head. Floppy grabbed a warrior by his feathered helmet and tried to pull it off the man's head, but the warrior's head was strapped into his helmet and his head came right off with Floppy's tug. The mammoth slammed the head into the chest of another warrior and knocked him off his bison. Fila slammed the point of her stone spear into the armored chest of a warrior. The rock head of her spear bounced off of the warrior's gold armor and left a divot, but the impact of the bounce made the gashed-up spear finally snap in half. Fila was left holding the blunt end of the stick, while the warrior grabbed the sharp end of the spear. The Aztec warrior lifted his obsidian blade, held up the suddenly shortened spear, and knocked the stone spearhead against his obsidian blade. His blow was hard enough that the stone arrowhead shattered to splinters in his hands, but it gave Fila enough time to switch her garden weasel to her dominant hand. And the catwoman smashed the warrior right in the gold mesh face with her multi-spiked soil cultivating tool. The golden-plated warrior fell backward off his bison as red gore spurted out of the gold mesh of his face. Blue lightning rained out of the sky here and there as riderless bison charged and more warriors trickled out of the trees behind Fila and Floppy. Emma jabbed her fingers this way and that as she threw lightning at the invading army. She neatly picked off every warrior that Fila couldn't see or that my bullets didn't catch. A Crasis's gleaming puddle flowed out of a shining pile of pieces of empty golden armor. Her wave of protoplasm rushed over the leafy ground and toward the other warriors that charged at us from the forest. She wrapped her tendrils around the legs of the bison, even as many of the warriors turned their steeds around and tried to run away, and in just a few seconds her wave of deadly goo engulfed the bodies of the warriors. Jagged lines appeared in her body as the warriors tried to wave their obsidian blades through her, but her slime recongealed perfectly after just a few seconds. I was glad the warriors were in full suits of armor as I watched Acrasis finish off the last of the Aztec army. I was also glad that Acrasis and Emma were able to eat in Westinghouse the last of the warriors between them, since I was out of bullets, and I didn't dare duck back inside to grab the very last magazine.
I don't see any more of them.
Emma peered into the darkening woods.
Or do you think they're waiting to ambush us?
With shiny armor and bright feathers on their heads like that, I do not think that these people ambush,
growled Fila. The saber-toothed catwoman crouched on her haunches and glanced this way and that. Then she turned to Floppy.
Are you hurt, Floppy?
Floppy turned this way and that to show off the red scratches he'd gotten from the battle as Fila fussed over him. But I couldn't help noticing that the catwoman had a few scratches on her arms as well. It looks like you got a little messed up yourself, Fila, I said. I gestured back toward the house. Come on, let's get back inside and get those wounds tended to. Emma, Acrasis, how are you doing?
Oh, none of them got anywhere near me,
Emma said, and she smoothed back her frizzy black hair.
I'm quite fine. We have eaten well today.
Acrasis reformed herself into her Native American guise, but she stood in a huge gasoline rainbow puddle of herself that covered the ground around her for at least a yard in every direction.
The warriors were not able to harm us, but they and their bison were a highly nutrient-rich meal. We understand what you mean by removable armor now.
Yes, and we can use some of that armor ourselves.
Fila squatted down and started to rifle in the empty piles of armor. She held up a wooden club covered with obsidian shards and ran her finger along the tip of one of the blades.
This will slash flesh nicely.
Wait until you're bandaged to loot the bodies, I cautioned Fila. That's how people used to get gangrene and shit back in the day.
We have consumed all of the physical essence of these beings. The remaining objects should be free of microbes.
Well, go nuts then, I shrugged. I bent down and started to check out the armor, but most of it looked too small for me. I figured that even Aztec warriors weren't as well fed as the average modern American. At least my hands fit the handles of their clubs perfectly, so I grabbed a couple and stowed them inside the house. Fila grabbed a shin guard, held it against her leg, and then tossed it into the hollow side of a breastplate. She did the same with a pair of braces, then added several obsidian clubs to the haul and started to drag it into the house.
I'm worried that some of them might have retreated into the woods,
Emma said.
Obviously, that was the Eagle Lord's army, and if any of them manage to escape, they're going to take our location back to the Eagle Lord. We won't be safe here.
I did not hear any of them going back through the woods.
Fila's tufted ears pricked up.
And those bison in armor were not exactly silent.
We did detect several of the human bison dyads attempting to leave, but we ate them. We felt that leaving the creatures who wished to attack us for no apparent reason alive was not a positive survival strategy.
Clever girl, I said.
Not a girl, but clever, yes. We have also replenished a great deal more of our mass. We will be able to consume even more attackers more quickly if it is necessary.
Well, I don't think I'll be able to sleep after an attack like that,
Emma said.
Not to mention such a long nap. I'll stay up and take first watch, if nobody minds.
So will I said. I glanced at my Glock, then headed into the house. I only had one magazine left, but I knew that Emma only had so much power and so much attention to split. And I figured that protecting us from bloodthirsty Aztec warriors was a pretty good use of my bullets. Let me just reload in case they send more people.
They may have just stumbled across us whilst they were patrolling,
Emma said. She headed over to the crates and started to dig through the medical supplies.
I'm sure that they keep a lookout for people who hunt near sunset when they believe the eagle's eye will be closing.
They're not going to send a whole bunch of armored warriors on war bison out in the middle of the night just to patrol, I said, as I headed over toward Honest Abe. Fila, did you hear any advance scouts at all?
Not a single one.
Fila shook her head as she led Floppy through the door.
They made almost no noise before they snuck up on us. I barely heard anything except for the sound of creatures running through the brush. It did not sound like there was an army of men on those lumpy Aurok things until they attacked us.
We did not even feel the vibrations from their hoofbeats until they crossed the line into the dirt. After that, we were able to feel more vibrations from the warriors who were hiding in the trees. But we do not understand how we missed those other warriors.
Okay, so they have some kind of trick that lets them stay quiet, even with all that gold armor and all those bison, I said. I grabbed the magazine from the glove compartment, shoved it into the Glock, and released the slide. I understood it when we were following those kids. They were just walking around on their bare feet. But all those sets of armor and hooves, it doesn't make sense.
Their shaman probably cast a spell to make them silent. The spell must have been broken when we noticed them.
Well, that's one theory, I said. I closed the door behind me and pushed my Glock back into its holster. The important thing is that we know they're capable of sneaking up on us without making any sound, however they do it. That's a problem for us.
And since none of you heard them sneaking up on us for whatever reason,
Emma said as she fished out a roll of bandages,
we'll just have to keep closer watch on the trees. I'll get some lanterns and we'll keep them going all night.
I did not even see them in the trees, and I can see in the dark better than you can.
Fila curled up on the futon as Floppy settled down in front of it. She stroked the little mammoth's trunk as he laid his head on her lap, then started to undo the leather straps wrapped around her arms with her free hand.
The people of the Three Fires have spirits, and they have a shaman who speaks to the spirits. He was the only one who knew that we were not spirits, so he must know what real spirits are like. If the Aztecs have more powerful spirits, then their shamans must be more powerful too. It makes sense that they could cast more powerful spells than Grandfather Day.
You don't honestly believe that silly story about their Sun Eagle killing off the Great Spirit, do you?
Emma asked as she knelt at Fila's feet with the bandages, rubbing alcohol, and a clean rag.
Show me your cuts, dear. It's so obviously just a story to keep the people of the Three Fires from fighting back.
Because it's not your gods?
Fila extended her arm.
I read a little more of that big leather book you brought with the stories of your god. He fights other gods all the time. Why would the gods not fight in the same way in another world?
They just don't do that sort of thing anymore.
Emma tipped rubbing alcohol out onto the rag and dabbed it into Fila's cuts.
Dave, you understand, don't you?
Oh, cool. Another theological debate. I grabbed another rag and headed over to the futon. I'll take care of Floppy. Acrasis, can you keep eyes on the woods for a few minutes?
We will keep part of ourselves here, if you do not mind.
Acrasis stood by the door and gazed out into the forest. The slime puddle that she was standing in began to flow out the door in a gleaming stream of ooze.
We enjoy listening to you discuss your cultures. We observed various human cultures in the course of our research on Earth, but we did not have the opportunity to have most of them explained to us.
Just close the door, I said, and then I poured some rubbing alcohol onto the rag. Can your slime see or just your eyes? I have no idea how your senses work.
We are universally photosensitive and audio sensitive,
Acrasis said. And you can split part of yourself off without having it be a reproductive thing? I asked as I dabbed at the cuts on Floppy's legs. I was glad that the little elephant at least hadn't been hurt too badly. I saw you glue that hinge. Floppy raised his trunk and let out a high, screechy trumpet as the rubbing alcohol seeped into his cuts. The little mammoth flapped his ears and lashed his skinny tail, but he didn't take his head away from Fila's lap.
It is medicine, Floppy,
Fila told her mammoth through gritted teeth as Emma dabbed at the cuts on her arm. The cat girl hissed and laid her ears back against her head. Then she turned the hiss into a low, soothing hum as the mammoth settled down.
Mm-hmm. Good boy. Be still.
We can split off small pieces of our protoplasm and reabsorb it, as you've seen. Those parts will be inert until we reabsorb them, however. A large proportion of our mass is currently surrounding the circle of dirt, but there is a certain amount of us that is connected to the human-shaped portion of this body through the ground.
Cool, like tree roots. I stroked Floppy's side as I dabbed at more of his cuts. Hold still, boy. These cuts don't look deep, but we still need to keep them from getting infected.
Or like a fungus.
Emma wrapped a bandage around Fila's arm.
Which she is. That's precisely how fungi behave. And we still haven't figured out what to do about those Aztec warriors.
We will go to the shaman of the people of the Three Fires and ask him for magic that will protect us from the warriors. Maybe he can even cast a spell that will protect our cave from any other intruders.
We should definitely tell Grandfather Day. I tied off the bandages on Floppy's leg, grabbed my hunting knife, and sliced the end off the roll, then returned my knife to the holster and patted Floppy on the leg. That should do you, boy. Floppy whined and snuggled his head into Fila's lap as he twisted his bandaged leg around. He seemed more upset about the alcohol in the wounds than the wounds themselves.
If all of this gods-fighting-gods nonsense is as true as Fila says, wouldn't it be folly to ask Grandfather Day for magical help?
Emma tied off Fila's bandage, then ripped the end neatly off of her roll.
He's weaker than the Aztec shamans, after all.
I'm not subscribing to that particular theory, necessarily, I said. I know this is a parallel universe. There could be magic. Anything could happen. But so far, we haven't seen anything crazy like that. Well, okay. We've seen some crazy shit. I'm more interested in how relatively small bullets got through fucking gold-plated armor.
We are currently ingesting the remaining corpses and investigating their tools. The removable armor of the humans who attacked us is made of layers of animal skin, cloth, and feathers sewn together with plant fiber. The gold was an extremely thin layer that offered no protection whatsoever and should have only increased visibility.
Why the fuck would you wear gold armor if you're trying to sneak around inside the forest? I shook my head. It doesn't matter. We'll watch for another attack tonight. And when we go back to the village, we'll talk to Grandfather Day. Even if he can't do anything with his magic, he should be able to help us figure out what to do. I'm sure Red Chief got the news about us somehow and told the Eagle Lord where we were.
One of the boys must have told,
Emma sighed.
I'm sure she got it out of Bear Bear.
Or the boys were bragging about finding the spirits and word got over to the chief without them meaning for it to happen, I said. I holstered my knife, then grabbed some water and a jar of something preserved from the crates. I didn't really care what it was after the meal I'd had earlier. I just needed something for us to snack on during the night. However it happened, and the Aztecs snuck up on us whether it was magic or not. We're only here for a couple of days. We're not going to be able to figure out every single mystery in this world. We just need to survive until we leave. We'll take shifts watching until the timer runs out, and we'll fix up the place in the meantime. All that concrete is just screaming out to be used.
We are going back to the village, aren't we?
Emma grabbed a handful of candles and a few lanterns.
We can't simply leave those poor people hanging, waiting for the spirits to come back to them.
We have our weapons and our home here, and we have our house as a fortress. Those club knife things were sharp against my flesh, but they had a much harder time cutting through the wood. We can stay here and defend ourselves. If we go back to the village, we don't know what we will find. Unless those warriors found us by accident, which I do not think is likely, it means that the Eagle Lord knows we are here. He may have sent more of his warriors to the village to kill off all the rest of the villagers before they decided to rise up and fight against them.
So,
You think we might be walking into an ambush?
Emma's shoulders drooped.
They will certainly be waiting for us to come back to the village. I would suggest leaving under the cover of darkness if we did not need to stay here.
You and Floppy rest, I said, as I headed toward the door. Emma and I will keep watch. If we get another attack in the night, we'll go to the village in the morning and talk to Grandfather Day. If we don't, we'll assume it's fine, and we'll stay here and work on the place. Sound good?
It sounds reasonable, at least.
Emma sighed, and she grabbed a few blankets and slung them over her shoulder as she strode toward the door.
I suppose we're going to be traveling through quite a few worlds where this sort of thing is happening, won't we?
Being mistaken for gods? I asked as I headed out the door.
Suddenly landing in the middle of a survival struggle between two groups. We haven't been in a remotely hospitable world yet.
We've only been to a few worlds yet, I said. Maybe the next one will be overflowing with resources and everyone will be happy to see us. We made a little nest with the blankets, the lanterns, and the jars, and then quieted down to monitor the night. Watching the woods was terrifying for the first half hour or so. I jumped at every little rustle or snap of a twig, and every glint of a creature's eye in the darkness of the bushes had my heart racing. My terror faded after the first half hour, only to be replaced by the anxiety of sitting in a dark forest with wild animals all around me. I knew that Emma and Acrasis could easily dispatch any critter that decided it wanted to snack on us, but I had gotten unfortunately used to being attacked by creatures at this point. I started to get bored after the first hour of no attacks or so, and I let my mind drift a little as I gazed into the fire. My anxiety faded as the peacefulness of the night washed over me. I had Emma snuggled up next to me, even if we couldn't exactly focus on each other, and I had a gorgeous sky of stars above me. My phone wasn't blowing up with notifications or orders, I didn't have any bills to pay, and I couldn't even distract myself by getting sucked into a stupid political argument on Reddit. I watched the orange flames of our little fire lick against the dark silhouettes of the trees, scanned my eyes over to the rustling branches, and sank into the warmth of the blanket. I figured that if the Eagle Lord's guards had some way of sneaking up on even Fila and Acrasis, then I wouldn't be likely to see them either. As long as I had my Glock handy and was alert enough to shoot something that came charging at me from the trees, I'd be able to defend us. A couple of hours passed, and I started to worry again. I knew I shouldn't let myself get lulled into a false sense of security. If I allowed myself to drift off and relax, I could easily get distracted or start to doze off. And then I'd be mincemeat at the hands of the Aztecs.
You're rocking back and forth,
Emma whispered to me.
Settle down and don't waste your energy, my love.
Sorry, I muttered, and I gestured out at the woods. I'm a little on edge. I guess it's better than zoning out, huh?
Rest if you need to.
Emma patted me on the cheek, then shuffled around the blankets a little so that I could lean against her more.
Put your head in my lap. Acrasis and I are on the job.
I relaxed a little at Emma's assurance, and I even dozed off a little as she stroked my hair. I woke up as the sun slid its fingers through the trees.
Oh, so we weren't attacked in the night,
I yawned as I raked my fingers through my hair. Ugh, why am I so tired? Oof, I miss coffee.
We've been burning the midnight oil a bit lately,
Emma said. She blinked and scrubbed at her eyes with her hands.
I think I may have drifted off a little too. I suppose we're not going back to the village then?
If we think more warriors will attack, it is best to stay here and defend our territory,
Fila said from where she leaned against the door.
If we leave and are attacked, it will be harder to get back home.
I also don't want a bunch of Aztec jocks fucking up our home, I said. I sniffed at the smoky scent of roasting meat on the air. Breakfast?
The game here is plentiful.
Fila beckoned us inside. We feasted on chunks of whatever Fila had killed. And then I went to inspect the cement we'd looted. We'd taken every single bag of concrete from the hardware store in Farmington, and the pile we'd stacked up looked like it could cover the entire floor of the house with room to spare. So the house is 24 by 24 feet, I said. I started to draw calculations in the dirt with my finger. And we have 24 bags of concrete. That means 1,296 square feet to cover.
So each bag will need to cover 24 feet,
Emma said. She squatted down and peered at the label on the bags.
And ideally, we ought to pour at a depth of 6 inches. So if each bag covers 6/10 of a cubic foot...
Wait, how much? I scanned the label, sat down in the dirt, and did a few equations. I didn't like the answer, so I wiped them out and did them again. I scanned the numbers one more time, checked to make sure that I hadn't cubed when I needed to square or squared when I needed to cube, and stared at the number at the end of the equation. We can currently cover 42 square feet of floor. To cover the rest of the floor, we're going to need about 30 times that much concrete.
Then we shall just have to figure out what we can do with 42 feet worth of concrete. That's 6 feet by 9 feet, isn't it?
6 by 7, but not much of a difference, I said. What do you do with a room that's 6 feet long?
It would make the perfect pantry, especially if we're worried about bugs. We're bound to collect more food than we can jar at some point.
Acrasis? Fila? Any ideas? I asked.
A room for storing food is a good idea,
Fila said. She crouched down, grabbed one of the bags, and scrutinized the instructions.
We will need to go down to the river to get water. Do you remember where it is, Dave Meyer?
That's right, water, I sighed as I scanned the instructions, and then I glanced at the jars of water we'd hoarded. I'm not even sure if we can spare 18 gallons for this without making a stop at the Rouge. But I'm a little worried about going through the forest if there are more of those warriors around.
We dispatched them quite handily before. If we all go as a group, I'm sure we could do it again.
Will some of us not need to stay back to guard the base?
Acrasis asked.
We will also make less noise if we take fewer people. Dave Meyer has the magic arrow that points home, so he will come with me and Floppy to fetch water.
I don't mean to lord my advantages over the both of you, but perhaps Acrasis or I ought to come with you. I'd rather worry for the three of you against all those warriors.
Dave has the Thundermaker,
Fila said. I have 15 bullets left, I said. And we're all going if we're going. Acrasis, I'm going to need you to leave behind part of yourself here, so you can keep an eye out for anyone trying to visit.
We can do that,
Acrasis said. Great. I clapped my hands together, then went over to the crates and started to load empty quart jars into the cart we used to transport things. We'll get the water, come back here, and it shouldn't take too long to build that base. We can just spread a tarp over it while it cures.
Not the cart.
Fila shook her head, then grabbed one of the crates filled with empty jars.
The wheels will make too much noise. We'll strap the crates to Floppy.
Fila stopped herself in mid-sentence as a loud rustling sound came from the bushes. Her ears went back against her head, and her tail stuck straight up into the air as she crouched in a ready position and brandished her garden weasel at the trees.
People!
Emma hissed. Her black curls frizzed up around her face as she pointed her glowing hands toward the trees. I grabbed my Glock and aimed it toward the rustling.